Friends, I'm sure you remember, even if it's from vacation Bible school when you were a child, that famous story from the Old Testament of Jonah and the whale, right? Jonah was that really moody prophet who didn't want to go and work for the Lord, and the Lord basically had to drag him, kicking and screaming, to do his work. It involved a whale, it involved a bunch of fishermen, casting lots, and ultimately him getting spat out on a beach. And then he eventually agreed to go and preach to this city of Nineveh for them to repent. Nineveh was a pretty bad city. All the worst kind of stuff was going on there. It really wasn't a place of any kind of godliness. And Jonah got sent to them. And part of his frustration with the Lord was saying to him, they're not going to listen to me. What's the point in me going there? It's useless. It's a waste of time. And he was indignant. He did not want to go and preach to them. And as we know, as how the story goes, he preached to the city of Nineveh and said, you're going to be completely destroyed. God is going to destroy you in X amount of days. It's coming. So the whole city did what? They all repented. They asked for mercy. They put on sackcloth and ashes, and they repented. The whole city asked for mercy. And then, as we know, God heard their prayer, and he had mercy on them. Jonah, then as we know as the story gets on, Jonah then gets frustrated that fire didn't come down from heaven and destroy them. Do you see the irony here? He is literally the most successful prophet in the Old Testament. What usually happens to prophets? They go and talk to people, and then they either get beaten up or worse, killed, and people don't do anything, and then God intervenes. Jonah, on the other hand, who didn't want to go and do this, was the most successful in the Old Testament. He converted basically like New Orleans, right? Like a city of absolute debauchery, and everyone converts and asks for mercy. He was successful. And then he gets really bent out of shape because God doesn't destroy them. Okay, what does that have to do with what we're talking about today? When we look around the world, very often as Christians, you might ask God the question, why don't you just deal with this? Why don't you intervene? Why don't you just deal with them? If you are who you say you are and you're this powerful, why don't you just step in and take care of business in the way that we think he should take care of business, in the way that Jonah thought he should take care of business, right? Didn't we hear what was read and quite rightly titled the Book of Wisdom in our first reading? Lord, though you are the master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. Though you are the master of might, Lord, power, right? You judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. You see, that's the thing which Jonah missed, and very often, friends, you and I miss. God gives us an opportunity to fix it. God gives you and I an opportunity to make it right. And it's not all on you. For us as believers, making it right simply means saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, like Nineveh said, have mercy. Forgive us. That's how it's made right. And we prayed that together just moments ago in the psalm that we sung. Lord, you're good and forgiving. That was the refrain which you and I joined in with. Lord, you're good and forgiving. You see, we can get it wrong when we just look around the world and we can see all the ways, well, with two things, all the ways that I would fix it and all the ways I want God to fix it, right? Basically giving God a prescription about how to lord over creation. Imagine that, the creature telling the creator how to do his job. But that's the situation we're in. And very frustrating as it can be, when we look around the world today, we can figure out every single thing that's wrong without ever diagnosing the first problem, which is me. I don't know about you. I'm not the finished article. Maybe you are. I've got work to do, right? I'm not home yet. I'm not in that barn, as it said at the end of the gospel. We've got a ways to go. But as it said in that gospel, did it not, right? The servants who are questioning their master, look at all these weeds. Let's just pull them all up. And the master rightly says, leave them. Leave it till the harvest. Because if we pull them up, you might also uproot the wheat along with it. In other words, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's work to be done still. But it's that frustration because we're still in the weeds, friends. As soon as you walk out those doors, we're back in the world and there's a lot of weeds around us. And how do we deal with that? How did they even get there, as the servants asked him? Master, how did these weeds come to be there? Did you not sow good seed? There's a very subtle detail in the gospel, which we can very easily miss. They asked the question, how did the weeds get there? Because something happened right before that. Did we miss it? It says, while everyone was asleep, the enemy came and sowed those weeds. While everyone was asleep, the enemy came and sowed the weeds. That's very true for you and I. I don't know about you, but I know for myself. Stuff creeps in when we start to slumber in our spiritual lives, when we kind of fall asleep and just kind of along for the ride. For us as Christians, the age of the accidental Catholic Christian, the accidental Catholic and Christian is over. You know what it's like to live in the 21st century. You have to be intentional if you want to be a Catholic or a Christian. It's a decision. You can't be Catholic or Christian anymore by accident. So for any of us, and for myself, who have fallen asleep, I would humbly suggest the alarm clock's going off. It's time to wake up, in the most Catholic sense possible, time to get woke, right? The idea that we can somehow just be accidentally Christian or Catholic anymore is over. And it's been over for a little while. So in the midst of the weeds that we live in, yep, in the midst of a world where we have all the solutions in our heads as to how to fix it, yep, I would suggest to you, also suggest to myself, that it's a moment that we have, a privileged moment right now, where the Lord is allowing us a moment before the harvest to look into our lives and recognize the areas where we need that psalm, right? That the Lord is merciful. The Lord is kind and merciful. Look into the areas of our lives where we're asleep and wake up. Look into the areas of our lives where we tolerate weeds being a part of our spiritual life and get rid of those. And for you and I, as Christians, in the most Christian sense possible, let's shake ourselves out of any slumber that we're in. Yes, it's been a long 6 months in this pandemic, and maybe we've gone to sleep a little bit. Good news, friends. We always have the ability to wake up. And now's the time.